We will review the results of this week's recall election and what they mean for the future of Wisconsin and the nation in this special post-recall edition of the Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Friday, June the 8th. Usually in our Week in Review, we cover more than a dozen of the top stories in politics from around the world, the nation, and here in Wisconsin. But today we will focus on what happened in Wisconsin's historic recall this week, why it happened, what it means, where Wisconsin goes from here. We will get the takes of our two guests from different political perspectives and yours too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest today, Matt Rothschild, publisher of the Progressive magazine. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, Joy. Thanks for having me on.
Also with us, Owen Robinson, columnist at the West Bend Daily News, blogger at bootsandsabres.com. Good morning, Owen.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, Owen. How are you?
Well, let's start with the recall. How's that? Now, let's get your personal reactions. Owen, Governor Walker defeated Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett 53% to 46%. That's a bigger win than he had in 2010. Speak for yourself personally. What was your reaction?
Honestly, when the news came in, the first reaction was relief that we'd finally reached an end point after all the months of turmoil and the $80 million we're hearing now spent in advertising and all of the everything that's been that went on. We were finally done, and I think that it's a positive thing. I think that, you know, after all that was said and done, Walker ended up winning by more than in the last election. I think that it really showing that the voters, they support Walker. They supported him the first time, and they made it clear again that that's who they want as their governor.
And Matt, how did you personally feel when the election was called for Governor Walker relatively early in the night?
Like someone had taken a tire iron out of their car and hit me over the head with it or kicked me in the teeth. I mean, it was a brutal, brutal night to watch for, I think, anyone on the progressive side of the ledger, anyone who has been outraged, as I have been, by Walker's really reactionary policies, not just on labor, but on public education and the environment and social welfare. And then the way he did it, the reckless, ruthless, in my mind, illegal way that he and the Fitzgeralds and the state Supreme Court ran the sucker through. And now after this great, historic, wonderful, exhilarating, creative, joyous uprising that will go down in the Wisconsin history books, in the U.S. labor history books, as one of the great labor defenses and uprisings of the last 100 years, we are left with this same man in the governor's office who now has more power than ever, at least symbolically, is being saluted as some new monarch on the right-wing media, and whose example is inspiring other right-wing governors and legislatures to shove it to labor and to rip up every bit of the progressive legacy in their own states. So it's pretty harsh. I'm reaching for the Prozac right now.
Oh, Matt. what happened, Matt, from your perspective? And then we'll get Owen's take.
Well, there were just so many tactical, strategic, fundamental things that we can talk about. But let me just mention a couple. First of all, money. I mean, money can't buy you love, I suppose, but it sure can buy you political power, or sure can help you make that purchase. And when you get outspent, you know, 7-1, 8-1, 10-1, it makes a difference. And you know, a lot of people were saying all that money wasn't moving the dial at all. And that just simply isn't true. And few people have remarked on this, and I think this is a key thing to look at. In mid-November, Walker had a negative approval rating of 58%. And then he was on the air virtually with total air supremacy for month after month. I saw an ad at Thanksgiving. There were ads up to Christmas. There was an ad on the Super Bowl. There were ads up till the primary started here. And he burnished his image, and he turned that around to a 51%, 52% approval rating, and that's where it stood on Election Day, and that was hard to rebut. And he got that by money. And the other thing that was really crucial is that the far-right reactionary business billionaires understood what was at stake here. the Koch brothers understood it. You know, Sheldon Adelson understood it. Foster Freeze understood it. The RNC understood it. Rance Priebus certainly understood it. And so they poured their money. They unloaded their money. And on the other hand, you know, where was the DNC? Where was the White House? Obama couldn't find Wisconsin with, you know, GPS and a flashlight. And you know, they just pushed, you know, Barrett out, you know, on a plank, basically. So that was a problem. The third thing is this recall idea was unpopular with the people of Wisconsin. 60% of the people weren't comfortable with recall except for misconduct in office or criminal activities in office. And where was the rebuttal to that? I mean, every good attorney knows you need to go after the other side's best argument. And this is one of their best arguments. And the only person who addressed it that I heard was Russ Feingold at the Majestic. But, you know, there wasn't an ad. There wasn't a popular effort to say, look, yeah, generally, you know, recalls aren't necessary, but, you know, Fighting Bob La Follette in 1910 said we needed them for misrepresentation and betrayal, and then they should have spelled out the misrepresentation and betrayal. But it baffled me tactically what was going on. And lastly, you know, give some props to Walker as a candidate. I mean, the guy was extremely disciplined and on message.
Well, there's a number of things that we can talk about all hour, and we'll give you a turn now, Owen. What happened as far as you're concerned?
Well, and I certainly appreciate Matt's viewpoint, and you know, I've as a conservative, I've certainly been on the other side of electoral successes in the past, and it's really easy to get caught up in wanting to blame the money or the tactics or the party screwed it up or, you know, bad candidate, usually actually true. And there's some truth to all of that. I mean, all that stuff matters. And certainly if you look at the ground game, that tactical get out the vote effort that both the Democrats and the Republicans are running and how those compare, there's some real stuff in there. But it doesn't make for a 7-point victory. I mean, if anything, we know is we've been so saturated with all these issues and with Walker and what he's done and what he hasn't done and all of that for the better part of a year and a half. I don't think there's anybody in Wisconsin who doesn't understand what was at stake and who the candidates were and what they felt about that. So for anything, for all the money that was spent, at least, you know, there's no excuse for anybody to say they were ignorant about it. But sometimes it comes down to the simple fact that the majority of the voters of Wisconsin support what Governor Walker and the Republicans and the reforms they made. They support them. You know, and when you're on the other side of that, sometimes you just have to buck up and realize that the voters just aren't that into you. And you got to change either change your stance or accept the fact that you're going to be in the minority for a very long time.
Let's take a listen to Governor Walker during his victory speech, and then we'll get you both to react.
We tell Wisconsin, we tell our country, and we tell people all across the globe that voters really do want leaders who stand up and make the tough decisions.
So, Owen, is that why the governor was reelected?
I think there's a sizable part of that. I mean, we've been spending the last however many budget cycles going into every budget cycle saying about how many billions of dollars we're in deficit and how much we're either going to have to cut or how much we're going to have to raise taxes and to come in and make some serious reforms, serious long-term reforms, and those are largely tied up with the collective bargaining changes, but they are long-term reforms that put our state on a fiscal path that's much more sustainable. And when you look at states like California or Illinois and some of those states that have chosen another path, and they're, again, in that another budget cycle saying they're $11 billion in debt and have to cut all this spending and fire all these public employees. And in Wisconsin, we're not having that conversation, and we're coming up, a year away from the next budget, and we're looking at a surplus right now. So it's working, and I think that people like to see leaders who come in and actually do something. They don't just say it, they do it. And whether you agree with Walker's reforms or not, and I realize that there are many who don't, but there are many who do. But there are a lot of people who respect him just for the fact that he came in, he said what he was going to do, and he did it.
Well, more voters apparently agreed with his reforms than didn't, Matt Rothschild.
Well, he didn't say he was going to shove it to labor. He didn't say he was going to, you know, take women's rights to sue for sex discrimination away. He didn't say he was going to restrict people's right to vote and a whole mess of other things on the environment, let people, you know, dump waste on their neighbors' lawns and not get prosecuted. But look, Walker was prevailing here not because or only because people supported his reforms. A lot of people I talked to, and I went to Fort Atkinson on the Friday before the election and to do a little reporting, and I was very worried then. So I wasn't shocked on Tuesday night that he won. I thought Walker was going to win this, but it was still devastating. And one reason I wasn't shocked, first of all, was the polls, but secondly, the people I talked to in Fort Atkinson. Young men fishing, 25-year-olds fishing on the Rock River. Who are you going to vote for? Walker. Why? Well, I don't like what he's done on public education. I don't like his attack on teachers. I heard that from a couple of them, but I'm going to vote for him anyway. In part, people didn't like recall, as I mentioned. In part, people liked the fact that he had balanced the budget. And so, you know, I would talk to people at the McDonald's and at the Tasty Freeze there as you're driving into town or in the Stop and Go, and I was just hearing the same thing over and over. Some people were voting for Walker because they were dyed-in-the-wool Republicans, but I talked to a nurse whose husband was a union electrician, and they both were voting for Walker. I mean, that's another huge story, that 38% of union households, more than last time, actually voted for Walker, and we need to wrestle with that. I mean, here are people voting for the guy who's got his boot on their throat, and that gets to how the unions, many of them, not all of them, we have great unions with the AFT Wisconsin, the MTI here in Madison, SEIU, but some of the unions weren't getting to their members. And weren't doing getting their education message across as well as they could have, and I guess all of us on the progressive side could have gotten our messages out to people who weren't agreeing with us. And it was always my hope that the million people who had signed these signatures would each one try to get one who didn't agree with them or was on the fence to come to vote. And if half of them succeeded, there would have been 1.5 million votes, which would have been enough. But I do think it's important for progressives to do the old-fashioned kind of political work, and so many people were doing it. And my hat is off to the people who knocked on doors and circulated those petitions, 30,000 of them in the dead of winter. But we just got to do more of it.
Matt Rothschild is publisher of the Progressive Magazine. Owen Robinson is a columnist at the West Bend Daily News and blogs at bootsandsabers.com. Our two guests this week for a post-recall edition of our Week in Review. We are reviewing the results of this week's recall election. What happened, why, and where we go from here. And we'll welcome your input too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up Monday on our state capitol report between 7 and 8, more on the recall and looking toward the future. That's Monday from 7 until 8, our state capitol report. Also tonight on Wisconsin Public Television, interviews on the recall aftermath on Here and Now. That's Friday night at 7:30. Right now, this is our Week in Review. It's a special recall edition of our Week in Review, talking with Matt Rothschild and Owen Robinson about this week's recall election. During Tom Barrett's concession speech, he urged supporters to not give up. Let's take a listen.
Please, please, please remain engaged, remain involved, because we will continue to fight for justice and fairness in this city and this state.
And starting with Matt and then Owen, so don't give up, stay engaged. Do you see that happening with the groups that were supporting Barrett?
Oh, I don't think people are going to give up. You know, I love that line from Tom Barrett's speech. I thought he gave a very dignified speech. I thought he ran a dignified campaign. He's a very dignified man. Russ Feingold said he's the most decent person he's ever met in public or private life. And change isn't linear. He's absolutely right. I've been worried about this, too. I'm worried about the first-time activists who threw themselves into this campaign for the last 16 months only to see it not succeed. And I just hate the idea that they would draw the conclusion that it's useless to do this. I totally disagree with it. Change isn't linear, though. It's not made in a day. It's not made in a month. It's not made in a year. It's not made in a single campaign. And sometimes you win. Sometimes you lose. And we've had huge battles in our country over the last, since its birth, you know, the fight against slavery, the fight for women's rights, you know, the fight for workers' rights, which we're continuing right now in Wisconsin, the fight for civil rights and gay rights. And none of those things happened just with clear sailing. And so we hit some choppy water here. But we need to, you know, put our sails up again, keep going.
Yeah. And Owen, is the conservative movement going to keep going?
Well, absolutely, and I think it's interesting if you try and draw some parallels here. But where take the Tea Party movement, for instance, which came out of the same sort of reactionary anger, almost anger and frustration that the country was going in a direction that people didn't like. So they went to rallies and they held up signs and they had big parties and whatever they did, which is all great, and there's tons of energy in that, but it doesn't win elections. And what they did, what you've seen the Tea Party movement doing over the past couple years, really, is buckling down and working at that grassroots and getting school board members they support elected and city councilmen and assembly people and, you know, really finding good people to run and getting them in office, because it's when they're in office that they can start to make change. So at the time when the movement that Matt supports here and all that, when they get their act together and find their own Scott Walker that supports their beliefs and their own Paul Ryan and their own Ron Johnson, who are going to get into office and make change for the benefit they want, that's when they would be successful, which is why I completely hope they don't do it.
Go ahead, Matt.
Well, I just wanted to pick up on the Tea Party concept, because I think one mistake that Tom Barrett made was to keep talking about the governor as a Tea Party rock star, and it was both parts of that were wrong. The rock star part was wrong because a lot of voters like to have a rock star governor. The Tea Party part of that was wrong because not everyone in the Tea Party is necessarily not going to vote for you unless you diss them when you say Tea Party rock star. And the Democrats need to get some of those working class people who are voting against their economic self-interest, who are looking to the Tea Party. And the way to do that would be say, you know, do you want to vote for the Koch brothers and, you know, billionaire roofers in Missouri who, you know, Scott Walker went and sat on their laps while they were writing $500,000, $250,000 checks to them. And so, you know, there are just so many little tactical things that's concern me about the race.
Is Governor Walker a Tea Party rock star, and is his national star rising, Owen?
His national star is definitely rising. He's Scott Walker is one of those guys who was Tea Party before Tea Party was cool. So
you're not going to sing now, Owen, are you?
I might, but certainly has. I mean, but in line with wanting smaller government and fiscal restraint and all those things that are things that Walker honestly been backing since way back in his days in the assembly. So it's been a very long time he's been of that mind. It's more that I think the more of the electorate, I guess, started coming around to that mode of thinking in more recent years, which obviously is much more in line with people like Scott Walker. So, but as far as the national star, absolutely rising. I don't think that you will find another governor in the country right now who's on such a meteoric rise.
Let's go to some callers. Michael in Linksville is with us. Hello, Michael.
Yeah, hi. I'd just like to say that, you know, $80 million spent on this is just atrocious. I mean, humanity needs to get itself together, not just the money, the efforts of all the people that they now did not see come to fruition in the recall effort could go towards something completely applicable. Like, for instance, every school in the whole entire state could grow all its own food with greenhouses and have them powered with no bills for that, not even a fraction of that money. I mean, it's just ridiculous. There's no time for this anymore. I mean, you want to tell the country something, they want to tell the country something, find organic synergy that comes free with the rising sun.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Way too much money wasted on the recall. A lot of people thought that. Matt Rothschild, what about that?
Well, if we ever really want to get to a real democracy in this country, we need to do something about the corrupting power of money in politics. We need to get it out of politics. It doesn't belong in that sphere. We need to amend the Constitution of the United States to say once and for all that corporations aren't persons and that money is not speech. Until we do that and have a similar effort here in Wisconsin, we are going to be susceptible to having the most corrupt political system that we have right now. And for Scott Walker, you know, he raised two-thirds of his money out of state. And you know, that's just crazy. Why does a billionaire roofer get to decide who's going to be in Missouri, or an oil man in Texas, or a casino owner in Nevada get to decide who's going to be the governor of Wisconsin?
Yeah, what, well, and why did the governor need all that money if voters, you know, agreed with his reforms?
Well, at some point, candidates actually have to get out and communicate to voters, and money is what it takes to do that. You have to buy ads, you have to buy literature, you have to buy people, you have to staff campaign offices, you have to man phone banks. I mean, those things cost money, and to expect a candidate to unilaterally disarm and say, oh, I'm not going to spend any money and just assume people agree with me, no. He has to get out and communicate his message, and that's exactly what he did. And it's exactly what Barrett did. It's exactly what the unions did. Everybody wants to get out and communicate what their beliefs are and why you should vote for them. And that's what happened. And that's what that money reflects, is just that the race was very important to a lot of people, so that's why they were willing to give their time and money to it. And that message got communicated. I would say, if anything, our entire community was oversaturated for the past several months with hearing people's message, and we did.
And it doesn't concern you, and it shouldn't concern anyone, that most of the governor's money came from out of state?
Most of the money for the race on both sides came from out of state, but it just reflects the national importance of this race. And Matt touched it on earlier, where when the national unions came in, this is where they drew their line in the sand. This is where they said, we stop it in Wisconsin or we can't stop it anywhere. And they failed. But they invested a ton of money in it.
On the other hand, our caller could have also been complaining about the wasted money of a recall period. A lot of people think that this was a terrible waste of taxpayer money that we had to do over again, Matt Rothschild. How do you address that?
Well, I don't think it was a waste of taxpayer money. The caller was also talking about just, you know, how obscene it is to spend all this money on advertising when we have crying social needs to address here, including energy and need to get onto solar. And I'm with Michael on that. But then the question is, and I think Republicans in the state are moving toward trying to amend the Constitution here in Wisconsin and either do away with recalls entirely or to make them much more difficult. And I'm against that. I think the people should have this recourse, as Fighting Bob La Follette said, to try to remove from office a politician who's guilty of misrepresentation and betrayal. And, you know, if the people can do that by clearing the high hurdle, and it was a high hurdle getting those 540,000 signatures and getting almost twice that. And that's, I don't fear, you know, democracy. And I think recall is a necessary tool of democracy.
Yeah. Governor Walker, only the third governor in the country to face a recall, first to survive one. Is it really too easy to recall, Owen?
I do think there needs to be a serious look and some reforms made in that area. I think it's something that, though, we need to put a lot of thought into. I agree with Matt on that. I don't fear recalls. I don't mind them in concept. I think it's in the execution where we see how I think the recall process has been abused of late. And I think it's something that you see the sort of fractional divide it creates in our communities and in our state, for really not because of anything serious that the person did in office, but just because they disagree with them. And the minority, you know, if you lose an election by 20 points, or I'm sorry, if you win an election by 20 points, it still means that there's 40% of the people out there who didn't want you there, and they'd rather try again and have someone else. So I think hopefully we've learned through these cycles that recall elections should be used sparingly and not much. And to go back to your earlier question, Joy, about whether this recall was a waste of money, yes, it was. And because of the reasons stated, and I know I disagree with Matt here, but I do think that recall should be reserved for true criminal behavior or malfeasance in office rather than just I disagree with policies. But at the same time, although I think it was a waste of money and it should have never happened in the first place, I am glad that this recall happened, because it affirmed the fact that the majority of Wisconsin voters support the direction that Scott Walker is taking this state.
Let's take another call, move on to another area. William in Madison. Hi, William.
I thank you immensely for taking my call. I am the grandson of one of the two men who organized the laborers in the iron, copper mining, and timber industries in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan. The mining corporation executives hired goons to kill labor leaders in 1906 to survive, my grandfather had to take on four different last names.
Yeah. William, I want you to talk about, I know you have a wonderful story, but we have limited time. What about the recall? Are you concerned now for labor?
I am very concerned about labor because the young generations, the 20s and those in the 40s, are not taught in the universities, in the grade schools, high schools, the true history of how our parents, grandparents, fought to get from a 14-hour day, 7-day work week to our current 8-hour Friday week. The young kids don't understand what they're losing.
Thank you very much, William. What about the future of labor, Matt Rothschild, in the aftermath of the recall election?
Well, I do think it is a slap in the face to the labor movement here in Wisconsin, and it's being read as a slap in the face to the labor movement across the country. That Walker was able to prevail here. I agree with William. We need to know our labor history in this country. We need to know that these gains that we've made for decency, you know, 8-hour day, vacations, hopefully paid sick leave at some point, you know, are made because people organized to do it. And we got the right to strike, the right to collectively bargain in the New Deal, where the President of the United States encouraged people to join unions. That's something that's lost to our history. But, yeah, I think this is a time for reflection, for introspection, for questioning within the labor movement here in Wisconsin. I do think the labor movement nationally should have done more to help Tom Barrett out. I think every progressive billionaire should have done more, too, and the Democratic Party and the White House. But as far as labor goes, you know, the real social change question for the labor movement and for the progressive movement in Wisconsin is whether it was prudent to channel all this energy of the 100,000 people who had gathered onto the square in subsequent weekends and the tens of thousands every day back in February and March of 2011 and channel all that into recall. Recall didn't cause the division in the state. Scott Walker's policies caused the division in the state. Recall was a way to address those divisions. And I think it was a mistake to make recall the be-all and end-all of fighting Scott Walker. And that decision was made from not collectively at the grassroots, but, you know, by a handful of people. I'd like to know exactly who they were. I mean, there were things to do with 100,000 people in the street. We could have engaged in mass civil disobedience. That's what Martin Luther King Jr. Did with the civil rights movement. And there were other creative things we could have done in the streets. There were creative things we could have done in the workplaces. And yet, essentially, at some point, we're all told to go home and work on state Senate recalls and then work on Walker's. And that diffused the energy of the protests geographically and emotionally. And it made people believe that the Democratic Party is the be-all and end-all. And I just don't think that was wise.
Yeah, so is the labor movement finished, Owen?
It's not finished, but it's certainly in decline. And it is interesting, Matt, a moment ago you were decrying out-of-state money, and now you're wanting the national unions to come in more. So,
well, I mean, the national right wing, the Koch brothers, David Koch went on record with some Florida paper saying this is a crucial election and we've got to, you know, put unions in their place. I mean, they recognized what was going on and so just to sit there and to get outspent 7-1, 10-1, didn't make any sense to me. I mean, we got to change these campaign finance laws, don't get me wrong, but, you know, you were talking about unilateral disarmament during campaign, and I generally don't think that's a good idea either.
Well, and those are some false ratios there, but to go back to the original question about unions, we can honor the history of unions and what they've done, and frankly, they've largely won the war here. Much of the reforms they fought for are enacted into law, and they're protected in civil service laws, they're protected in our employment laws, the 40-day or 40-hour work week, child labor laws, safety standards, all those things. We have massive government bureaucracies now set up to regulate those things in the private economy. So I think it's something that they've largely won, and now they've gotten to the point where they're negotiating things like, can I get, you know, triple overtime on because I took some time off and I want to work on a Sunday, and things that They don't matter. They matter to the people getting them, but they're not reforms. They're just trying to get more. So they, much of the union movement has kind of become this big movement in search of a purpose. And I think what that's done is we've seen the rapid decline of unionization in the private sector, because unions have largely become irrelevant to most people. And that's why when this recall process started, and they started out on the collective bargaining issue and quickly dropped that, because they realized that it's not that people were really angry about it or really supportive of it. A tiny fraction on each side were, the heavy anti-union and the heavy pro-union people really, really cared. But for the vast majority of people, it's just irrelevant. Unions aren't seen as the source of families' prosperity. Unions aren't seen as a central part of their lives. It's just something that's there.
Let me bring in a related caller, Tony in Richfield. Hi, Tony.
Yes, good morning. I have a comment for one of your guests. I think one of the reasons the recall election didn't prevail, or recall effort did not prevail, is because people make comments like Scott Walker has his boot on someone's neck in regards to issues like paying 12% of the cost of your health insurance and paying towards your pension benefits. And when most taxpayers are out there paying many times more of those percentages for their own benefits, and they hear people describe someone paying something to support their own benefits as having someone's boot on your neck, it irritates them.
All right, thanks, Tony. Matt, I think that was directed to you.
I suppose it was. this is the idea that we all should get gouged. We all should have to pay through the nose for health insurance and for our pensions. And if some person is getting slightly better benefits and pensions than the person who works for the worst boss in Wisconsin, why, that person should get down to the level of the employee at the worst boss in Wisconsin. And I just don't buy that. I mean, yes, Walker is trying to crush labor in Wisconsin. If Tony doesn't like the rhetoric, deal with it. Look it. He has told unions that the only thing they can bargain for in the public sector is wages up to the level of inflation. And what this means for a teacher I was having dinner with last weekend who teaches in Sauk, principal can come up to you and say, I now have the power to tell you to teach 8 classes a day with 33 to 35 students in it, and you have no recourse whatsoever. It means that people in unions can't bargain for vacation days and can't bargain for basic thing like paid sick leave if their kid is horribly sick, or if their parent is horribly sick, or if they are horribly sick. It's not about the one person who's trying to get triple overtime. This is about basic human needs of employees in the workplace and their voice, or their ability to have any voice whatsoever.
Let me take a break because we're past break time. This is the Week in Review. It's a special recall edition of our Week in Review. We have two guests discussing all of the issues involving Wisconsin's recall election this week, the winners, the losers, and where Wisconsin goes from here. We have with us Matt Rothschild and Owen Robinson. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Time now for our Week in Review quiz. Tuesday of this week was certainly an unusual day. Not only did voters head to the polls for the state's historic recall elections, but there was another unusual phenomenon in space. What are we talking about? What else happened this week in space? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can call in your guests. We will randomly choose a winner from all of the correct answers, and the winner will win a fabulous book featured on the program recently. We will announce the winner and the answer at the end of the program. This is the Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Matt Rothschild, publisher of the Progressive Magazine, and Owen Robinson, who is a columnist at the West Bend Daily News and a blogger at bootsandsabers.com. And we also welcome your input as we go along. I'm wondering if we can move on to some of the national implications as well of our recall race. You mentioned earlier, Matt, that President Obama did not stop in Wisconsin. He tweeted his support the night before the election for Tom Barrett. Is this going to make a difference in the presidential race?
Well, here in Wisconsin, the progressive people that I talk to are just outraged at that. I mean, where was Obama, where was Biden in February and March of 2011 when we were out here trying to beat back the Walker offensive, you know, when he was president, or when he was running for president? Last time he said, you know, whenever there's a picket line, he'll get his walking shoes out and walk with organized labor. Well, here organized labor was on the picket line, a mass picket line, and he was nowhere to be seen. And then the last, you know, 6 weeks, they were just AWOL. They were just nowhere to be seen, and to literally mail it in with a tweet, you know, the night before. I mean, he was 15 minutes away from Wisconsin. He was in Minneapolis on the Friday, last Friday, and he couldn't deign to show up in Wisconsin and hold Tom Barrett's hand up in the air and say, this is a decent man, you should vote for him. I mean, come on. Well, and now he's going to come here and ask for our votes?
So is Wisconsin in play? Could this possibly be a state for Mitt Romney, do you think, Owen Robinson?
I think there's certainly a better chance of it now. And I think that there's a couple factors there. One, just the simple fact that the Republicans hold the governorship and whatnot, it matters. You know, Walker has a bully pulpit within the state to help the Romney campaign, and certainly with you know, national leaders like Paul Ryan and Ron Johnson and others here in Wisconsin that are really at the forefront of the conservative movement. And I think that that stuff matters, and it's going to make a difference. But I also think that if you look at the ground game, the Wisconsin Republican turn out the vote or get out the vote machine is highly tuned right now because it's been active for 2 years straight because of all the recall elections and our what has become a perpetual election cycle here in Wisconsin. So it's highly, highly tuned, and it works very effectively. And I think that that's something that may, you know, it'll count for something in November.
But why do you think, though, polls ahead of the election and exit polls during the election still showed President Obama with a lead over Mitt Romney? Does that seem unusual to you, Owen, that most of our state would like Governor Walker and President Obama at the same time?
I don't think that's terribly unusual this far out, because especially in Wisconsin, where even the presidential candidates have had barely any political air to breathe because it's all been sucked into the recall process. So, you know, I think most of the Wisconsin electorate's going to sit back for a few weeks and just breathe. But then we have to start thinking about our next elections on August 14th, a primary for U.S. Senate that we have to start thinking about, and then November and all that. So I think most voters just kind of need a break right now, but then once they start tuning in and learning, and frankly, Romney is he still doesn't have the nomination yet, so you know, obviously has it locked in, but once he's actually is the nominee and is coming up, those numbers will start to move.
Mike in Bayview says in an email, a lot has been made of Wisconsin voters rewarding Scott Walker's political courage. This may explain the block of voters who support both Walker and Obama, as Obama, too, pushed through a not very popular reform with his Health Care Act. Want a brief comment on that, Matt?
Well, I think a lot of it was just discomfort with recall, with the do-over, and that argument was not hit hard enough by the Democrats why the recall was justified. And so for a chunk of Wisconsin voters, it was decisive, I think, that, you know, the guy just got elected. Why are you know, let's wait till his term is up. I also think Obama is popular. I mean, it's really weird to look at the map of Obama's victory in Wisconsin county by county and then the map of Walker's victory the other day, because they are absolute mirror reflections. One is blue, the other is red. I mean, the map in Wisconsin for Walker the other night looked like a map of Idaho. I mean, almost every county was red. But I do think it's, you know, people don't like Mitt Romney here, and a ton of people, a huge, you know, a decent majority voted for Obama last time, so it doesn't surprise me that Obama's still up.
You know, there were some pockets of blue, including Racine County, the Racine area Senate district is the one Senate district that flipped with the four Senate districts up in the recall election. The former Democratic State Senator John Lehman defeated Republican State Senator Van Wongard, or at least apparently very close, only 700-800 votes separating the two. Apparently, there possibly could be a recount asked for. What do you see happening here, Owen?
Well, and that's always been a very, very tight swing district, and we had, I think we see some of the effects of the GAB ruling that the elections were based on the old district lines, not the new ones. So now you're in this weird circumstance where you have a senator who's going to represent some voters and communities that never even had a chance to vote for or against him. I think this is what's here is it's a nice little, I guess, consolation prize if the Democrats want to have it. If it all goes through, which it likely will, then, the Democrats will control the Senate. But in reality, the Senate isn't in session again until next year, and we have elections in November where there's a strong probability that Republicans take back the Senate anyway. So I hope they don't clean out their desks.
You see that happening too, Matt. You're shaking your
I
head.
I do.
Yes.
This is the slimmest of solace. They talk about a silver lining. It was like aluminum foil lining. I mean, it just was not a real thing that you can take to the bank.
I was going to say tinfoil.
It was just not good. Good enough in any way to outweigh the disaster that happened on Tuesday. And I'm just tired of the spin. I'm tired of the spin from organized labor. I'm tired of the spin from the state Democratic Party. I mean, Richard Trumka of the AFL said, this state Senate victory stopped Scott Walker dead in his tracks. I mean, give me a break. We got our hats handed to us, our heads handed to us, and we need to face up to that and deal with it and figure out what happened, make sure it doesn't happen again.
Well, there are some calling for the resignation of Mike Tate, the Democratic Party chair, and that maybe this is going to have to shake up the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Matt, what do you think of that?
Well, I'm not for personal vengeance, and I don't know Mike Tate. I've never met him. I should have over the years, given my reporting duties, but, I don't know Mike. And it's not one person's fault, but there needs to be accountability. There just simply needs to be accountability.
Mm-hmm. I actually have met Mike Tate, and I 100% support his remaining as chairman of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin.
You're saying that with your tongue in your cheek, aren't you?
Just slightly. Yeah. Just slightly.
Well, we have about 10 minutes to go in this edition of our Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine with Matt Rothschild and Owen Robinson, 1-800-642-1234. If you have a point that you would like to bring up during the Week in Review, this post-recall edition of our Week in Review, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you think, Matt, that the Democrats have a shortage of viable candidates for major offices in Wisconsin? We, had a do-over, supposedly, with Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett facing Governor Walker, and Kathleen Falk has run and lost for governor and other offices before. What do you think of that?
Well, I think you need to look at, who else is on the bench. And who came out of this okay? I think Lori Compass came out of this doing well. She courageously ran against Scott Fitzgerald when everyone was telling her not to, and she ran a terrific grassroots campaign, and she got 41% of the vote. Maylin Mitchell came out well for lieutenant governor. I think Kathleen Vinehout in the primary came out okay, even though she didn't get many votes. She handled herself real well, introduced herself to the citizenry of Wisconsin statewide, and I think a lot of people liked what they saw and what they heard from Kathleen Vinehout. And then there are state legislators, Peter Barca, John Erpenbach, who have been, fighting the fight against Scott Walker in the legislature. And I think a lot of Democrats admire the work that they've been doing, and some of the Fab 14, too.
Well, speaking of fighting the fight, the governor wants lawmakers to get along. He's going to have a Brat Summit next week. Brat Summit is going to be on Tuesday, I believe. Owen, is this going to be a good move?
For Walker, absolutely. I think it's incumbent on him to do so. He's been reelected, and certainly as the governor, but certainly the state is still very fractured, and I think it's incumbent on those in leadership to lead, and that's what he's doing. He's setting the example of having a more open and conciliatory attitude, and I think that's a good thing. I certainly don't think it'll compromise his principles, and that's a good thing as well. But, with all politics being heated, there's no reason you can't sit around and eat a brat together. For goodness sake, we live in Wisconsin.
Do you think that's going to do any good, Matt?
No. I mean, I think it was de rigueur. It was going to have to happen. He was going to have to make some gesture. I think it's just a gesture. I think it's PR. It's not surprising. It's what anyone would have done in his shoes. I don't fault him for making the gesture, but I am not for a minute confused or believing that he's suddenly going to move to the middle. I believe at least when the November election comes through, and it's likely that the Republicans win the state Senate, and he'll have every branch of government here, that he is going to continue to shove it to workers and to women and to the environment. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if we end up with a right-to-work law in this state, which would really cripple organized labor. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he tries to pass a destructive mining bill. I wouldn't be surprised if he just went item by item with his agenda.
Owen?
Well, and it, at the end of the day, I guess, why wouldn't he? He ran as a conservative Republican. He's governed as a conservative Republican. Now he's been vindicated that the most Wisconsin voters want to see conservative Republican leadership. So I certainly hope you're right, Matt, because I think that that's what the voters want, and he was elected to represent the people's wishes.
Well, he said, though, that he was not going to pursue right to work as one specific example. Owen, do you think he's going to sign something like that should it arrive on his desk?
I don't know. I certainly hope so, frankly. I support right to work. I think it's one area of disagreement I have with Governor Walker, and it's something that I hope he changes his mind on. But as of right now, I don't see him certainly pushing for it, and if it actually makes it to his desk, I have no idea what he would do.
Yeah, Matt, the governor does say that he did learn that he can't just act without talking to people, and he promises he's going to talk with everybody and make sure that everybody understands what's going on and talk these things through before acting.
Well, I love that. You know, any criticism you would have done different? Yeah, I wouldn't have done a single thing different, except I would have explained my policies better. Which is to say, my policies were perfect. I'm not going to change my policies. Nothing wrong with them. This wasn't about communication. This was about the policies and how obnoxious the policies are, how corrosive and destructive the policies are. So, you know, I do think he's going to keep going with that. I just want to tell people not to give up hope again, though. You know, back in 1946, Bob La Follette Jr., young Bob, after serving for 20 years in the Senate in the United States Capitol, lost to a guy named Joe McCarthy in a primary, of all things. And we ended up surviving McCarthyism, and we will survive Walkerism.
What do you think is going to be the first item on the agenda as we move forward, Owen?
Well, first, I don't think we're going to see anything serious throughout the rest of the year. I think beginning next year, but next year we start the budget cycle again. So most of the items are going to be focused around that in the beginning part of next year. I expect we'll see more regulatory reforms, more jobs packages, things focused around the economy. And I think that's going to be high on the focus list for until it gets a lot better.
Well, thanks to both of you for your comments on the recall election and where we go from here. It's time for us to reveal the winner and the answer of our Week in Review quiz. Tuesday was a historic day, not only because of the recall in Wisconsin, but because it was the Venus transit. Venus moved across the sun, appearing as a black dot moving across the sun. The last time this happened was only 8 years ago, but if you missed it, you're in for a long wait for the next one, 105 years, December the 11th, 2117 to be exact. So if you did miss it, though, there are plenty of pictures of it online. The Venus transit is what also occurred on Tuesday. The quiz winner is Julie in Centuria. Congratulations to Julie. You win a book. I don't suppose, Matter Owen, you checked out the Venus transit?
No, I didn't.
Actually, there's a great video with the stop time stuff where you watch it go all the way across. It's really cool.
All right. Thanks very much to both of you. I hope you have good weekends, and we'll talk again on Monday. The State Capitol Report, more on the recall and the aftermath and the future of Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.